Welcome to Recalculating America. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America and has been named the best small business book in the Independent Press Awards competition. Each Recalculating program is dedicated to helping small business leaders add profits through efficient growth. During every Recalculating program, experts will give listeners useful information about starting or growing their small business. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money. He specializes in helping small business owners make their money work as hard as they do.
Dan Perkins here, and I'm your co-host along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating, the radio program that has evolved out of the award-winning book dedicated to helping small business leaders increase their profits. We draw our name from the book named the Best Small Business Publication for 2017 by the Independent Press. This book features contributions of more than 100 presidents, experts, and leaders who offer you ways to grow your small business. Don?
Dan, I'm really happy today to have our guest because customer sales, customer retention and customer service are all important and sometimes forgotten by small business. Tell us about our guest.
Thank you, Don. Well, today we're going to welcome to our show John Oschel, who is the CEO of SwissPage, a real expert in customer relations. You know, welcome, John. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
John, we spoke on the pre-show about the importance of customer service and how it seems to have degraded as the internet has become a, from a retail standpoint, a principal transaction. And based on the store closures around the country and people going out of the retail business, customer service might have been better. Customer service might have helped them. What I want to do, John, is I want to explore with you as an expert. And by the way, before we go much further, can you give our listeners your website so they can go and at their leisure look up your organization and what you do?
Sure. It's www.act.com. That's ACT.com. And you go there and we'll teach you all about customer relationship management.
So tell us about how you got in the business and how long your company's been around.
Yeah, so SwissPage was founded in 2001. It was started as just an email marketing company, and we kind of went through a period. I was an early investor in the company and started advising the company, and in 2006 we kind of determined that we needed to OEM our technology into other technologies. And you know, long story short, we grew to about 4 million, which is, you know, what most small startups do. They get to the point where they grow to 4 or 5 million, and then they, you know, they hit a brick wall. And we hit that brick wall probably in 2009, and we decided that, you know, we needed to really take a look at how to break through that. And in 2012, I took over as the CEO. I came off of the board and took over as CEO. And we really looked at the small business market and said, you know what? Small businesses need four things in order to grow. They need presence, traffic, conversion retention, and optimization tools. And everybody knows what, you know, presence is. That's websites, Facebook pages, et cetera. Traffic drives traffic to that presence. That creates leads, conversion and retention, and then converts those leads to customers and retains them. And then optimization tools are like financial software, HR software, et cetera. We determined that we wanted to own the conversion and retention space for the small business. Now, that was a big, you know, hairy goal, if you would, that we had set out for ourselves, particularly just being a $4 or $5 million company. But the only way that my background is I grow companies, and I grow them through acquisitions and mergers, et cetera. And so the only way that we knew to do that was to go out and find the anchor, if you would, of the conversion retention space. We believe that anchor is CRM software. And that's when we went out, and in March of 2013, we acquired the ACT brand. And the ACT brand has been around a long time. I'm sure everybody is familiar with it. It's actually celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. It was born back in 1987, in the day, and it's really kind of been around for a long time. And it really was the first CRM solution that was out in the marketplace. So we acquired that in March of 2013, and then have gone on to just dramatically regrow that brand, and then dramatically grow our business to way beyond our expectations. So it's been quite a wild ride.
So let's step back for a second, John, and you deal with Ackerman's all the time, but most of our customers don't. So when you say CRM and ACT, tell our audience what they stand for.
Yeah, so CRM stands for Customer Relationship Management, and ACT, which is our product, really actually it doesn't stand for anything. It means act. You know, go ahead and act on something. So it's not an acronym at that point. So
okay. So would it be fair to say, John, that your company primarily specializes in these areas for companies' website presence?
No, what we do is we primarily focus on helping companies grow by allowing them to have the most critical information about their customers all in one place. So customer relationship management is the anchor, we think, of all of the information that you need to grow your business. And we call it what we call the four C's of information. So if you're a small business out there listening today and you're saying, hey, I want to grow my business, what's the best way to do it? The best way to do it is focus on the four C's of information. And the four C's are currency, correctness, consistency, and completeness. Let me just talk a little bit about each one of those. And currency and correctness, they go hand in hand, right? If you don't have the current information about your customer, your lead, or your prospect, you're not going to get in contact with them. And you know what? If it's not current, it's probably not correct. If it's not correct, it's probably not going to be current. So it's really, really important to focus on making sure that all the information that you have about your customers, your prospects, your leads, et cetera, is current and correct. And the third C is consistency. Now, this is where, in today's day and age, we have an enormous challenge, and that is small businesses use a lot of different tools to run their business. And there are some really good tools out there. They're cheap. Some of them are free, et cetera. But what happens is we then capture information about our customers and our contacts and our leads in all different places. And then if it's not consistent across all of those, then you get right back to the first T's. It's not going to be correct, and it's not going to be current. So consistency is huge. Now, the fourth C is probably the most important, and that is completeness. Now, when everybody thinks about completeness, they think, oh, we need to make sure that we have, if they have a billing address and they have a shipping address and they have all different phone numbers and everything, we have to have all. And that's all really, really important information to be complete. But when we talk about completeness, we talk about capturing every single interaction you have with that customer or that lead or that prospect. So if you have a phone call, you capture it. If you had an email exchange, you capture it. If you tweeted back and forth, you capture that. If they walked into your store, you capture that. If they did a transaction, you capture that. All of that information has to be in one place in order for you to really evolve and grow your business. Because if you have it in one place, you can then begin to pull insights out of that information and then have a very, very deep, intimate relationship with your customer.
So was the acquisition of ACT the aha moment for your company?
It was. I mean, we're sitting there looking at being this small email marketing player, which we are playing in the conversion retention space. And we said, you know what, if we acquire ACT, there's a couple of different things that we loved about it. You know, number one was it has such a strong brand. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time somebody came up to me and said, ACT, oh, my God, you have that? I can't believe it's still around. I mean, so everybody knows that. Now, with that, we had a challenge, though, because everybody over the age of 40, you know, they knew ACT inside and out. Most of them have used it. And then anybody below the age of 40, they couldn't even spell it. And they're like, ACT, isn't that, you know, test you take before you go to college, ACTs? So we had some challenges there from a branding perspective. But it had a very strong brand. It had an enormous customer base. I mean, over the years, millions of companies, you know, upwards of 6 to 8 million companies in over 100 countries have trusted ACT to grow their business. So we had this enormous following, and we had a very, very large, loyal, paying customer base. I mean, it was a very aha moment for us that said, you know what, this is the beginnings of us being able to own the conversion retention space for the small business. We had a lot of work to do because it was owned by a company that really had let it go by the wayside. So it was a declining business when we acquired it. So we had some work to do. We had to transform the technology itself because back in the day it was just a pure desktop, closed desktop system. When we acquired it, we then moved it into a open cloud-enabled platform. So we stuck it in the cloud. We had to completely transform the business model. So the business model was one of, you know, license and maintenance, you know, a relationship where the customers were coming back to us every 3 years rather than, you know, this ongoing intimate relationship. So we changed the business model to subscription-based and recurring revenue. And then we had to, you know, work on revitalizing that brand and then also, you know, return the business to growth. And, you know, over the last couple of years, we've done that, and we've just had a fantastic time doing it.
John, what is it about ACT that, since you've clearly modified what it was to something much more contemporary, what is it that the people who use your ACT software, what are they trying to achieve, and how do you help them?
99% of the people that come to use ACT are looking to ways of how they're going to grow their business. They've got a good business, they've hit a certain revenue, and they're like, okay, I need to get to that next level. How do I do that? And what we provide them is you know, basically the three legs of the stool, if you would. It's, you know, when you acquire ACT, you get, you know, the platform itself, which is customer management, sales automation, marketing automation, wrapped around with insights. And then you also get customer success. And when we define customer success, and I'll tell you how we define it, and all you business owners, small business owners that are listening, think about this for your own business as well. When somebody comes in and says, I want to be part of the ACT family, I want to be part of SwiftPage Nation, we say that we're going to help you with three things. We're going to help you get started, we're going to help you get help, and we're going to help you continue to learn. And that's what we call customer success. And then the last piece of the stool that they get with ACT is what we call ACT Connections. Now, in today's, like we talked about today, people use enormous amount of tools across their business, whether it's presence tools, traffic tools, optimization tools, et cetera. And if that information isn't connected across the chain, what you're going to find is you'll have pockets of information all over the place. And as a small business, we don't have time or money or resources to go in and say, okay, how do I interconnect all of that? So with ACT Connections, what we've done is we've connected the ACT platform with over 700 other small business tools that people use to run their business. And with a couple of clicks, you basically now have the ability to have information flow seamlessly. So if you're using a payment system, you can connect that with ACT. If you're using a website and you're using WooFoo on top of your website, you know, you can connect it in there. So, you know, those are the three big legs of the stool that people get in order to grow their business. And, you know, they get 30 years of experience of a company that helps small companies grow. So
let me go to the market. We briefly touched on this in the pre-show. But before I go there, let me see if Don's got something he wants to throw on the table.
Well, I have a lot of questions, having worked with John in the past. But I guess, John, you get 80% of your business from 20% of your customers. How do you use your system to get additional business from that other 80% and from older customers who perhaps have dropped off? How does your system help small businesses do that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so I'll talk about, you know, the ACT brand ourselves and our customers and how we do that, and then, you know, again, I think I'll translate into your listeners as well. So, you know, we have a very, very large loyal base, and we divide that loyal base into two segments. One is what we call the active base, people that we have converted over to subscription, and we basically deal with on a daily basis. So we have a daily relationship with our customers, and it's very intimate, and we continue to talk back and forth about, you know, how we can help them and how they can help us. Then we have this other very large user base that has used ACT for many, many, many years, and maybe has not come up to the latest version, et cetera. And again, we continue to have a very detailed relationship with them and they with us, is maybe not on a daily basis, but we're continuously reaching out to them, asking them how they're doing, what can we do to help, and whatever. And then what you'll find is that, you know, people will come back and say, you know what, I've taken the existing version of ACT that I've had, and I've taken it to the limit, and I need to go to the next level. Can you help me? And what we are there is like, absolutely, we're here to help you. You know, you may be on a version of ACT that is 15 years old, and the database doesn't even exist anymore. The technology doesn't even exist anymore, you know, but we have a series of what we call ACCs, or ACT Certified Consultants. We have internal expertise that will go in, help those customers come about. So that's how we do it. Now, if I translate that to our customers and how they're dealing with their customers, you know, very similar. They probably have a set of customers where they get most of their their revenue from, and then an ancillary set that they get some revenue from. And then they have longstanding loyal customers that may have a transaction with and then, you know, go away for a long time. And that really gets back to the reason why you need CRM, because if you just do a transaction with a customer and say, hey, thank you very much for your transaction, and then never talk to them again, you know, the likelihood of them coming back is very, very low. But if you continue to have a relationship and say, hey, you know what, haven't heard from you, Don and Dan, for a long time, you know, I know you're a loyal customer, anything I can do to help out, you know, type of thing. So you have to stay in some kind of a relationship with your customers, whether they're the active ones that you're constantly dealing with, or whether the ones that come in and out, in order for to bring those customers back into your family.
Okay, I want to ask you a question, John. I'm a registered investment advisor, and I've been managing money for almost 44 years in my own small private practice. Not a huge money manager, but I try and do the best I can for my clients. One of the things that I do is a global approach, and then once I look at what's going on in the world, then I start to look at individual countries and opportunities. And one of the things that I see happening in the United States is somewhat disturbing to me, and that is that the number of retailers who are closing their business totally, And other retailers that are dramatically downsizing. Macy's is going to close 100 stores. And I'm wondering, as somebody that's intimately involved with customer service, what's happening in the retail space that's causing this exploding degradation of businesses and people going out of business?
Yeah, you know, it is a shame, Dan, because I see that a lot as well. So, you know, what we see, or what I'm seeing, is that, you know, if you think about it, in today, right now, as we speak, there are multiple generations in the marketplace. And if you just think about it, you know, there's us baby boomers. Then there's the, you know, Gen X, and there's the Gen Y, and there's the millennials. And there's a new one coming out called Gen Z. And the youngest people in Gen Z are in middle school right now, and the oldest people in Gen Z are just entering the marketplace. So just think about all these different generations that are out there and all the different types of relationships you have to have. You can't just pick one and say, oh, you know what, baby boomers, I'm going to just have a relationship with them because you'll alienate the rest of the generations. Or you might go say, oh, I just want millennials, and then you'll alienate everybody else. So what's happening is, I believe, is that these retailers are not understanding how to have multiple dimensional types of relationships with all the different generations that are out there, and they're failing. And they also have to realize that when I say multiple dimensional, it's like it's not just about brick and mortar anymore. It's about both brick and mortar and online and social, you know, et cetera. And I think that a lot of these retailers have gotten caught flat-footed and not realizing that, you know, they had to dramatically change quickly and have these types of different relationships with these different generations. And, you know, it's sad, but they're going away. Then you have other, you know, companies that are coming in and coming out of nowhere and just starting and taking off like crazy, you know, because they have the ability to have these multiple channel and different dimensional relationships out there. So I think that's, you know, what I'm seeing out there.
So what do you think are your opportunities going forward?
You know, from our opportunities, the CRM industry is changing dramatically, and it's pretty exciting. I mean, if you look at the evolution back 30 years ago, CRM started when, you know, we took the old Rolodex. You know, we all had the old Rolodexes on our desk, and we said, oh, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could automate those? Then we all walked around with day planners, right? And we said, well, let's, you know, do that as well. So it started there, and then it moved into, you know, then managing relationships. Now you're seeing it's really about managing interactions with customers. And where I see, you know, this all going is that you have two or three different types of avenues that are going to happen in the next 3 or 5 years. First is that you have people that want to interact with the software in multiple different ways, right? So if you right now are a road warrior, you don't want to bring up an entire CRM system on your phone or on your laptop or on your tablet or whatever. You want these little purpose-built apps that say, you know, today I'm on the road and I'm doing this deal, and, you know, I want to just be able to interact with the CRM software in these four pieces, and that's all I really need to do. So you're going to see over the next 3 or 5 years is that you have, you know, the whole full-blown CRM running in the cloud, and then you have these little purpose-built apps hanging off of them that people use those apps in order to interact with the software. You know, the other thing is, you know, we talked about all these different generations, and they're all used to dealing with software very, very differently. And one of the ways that people, you know, if you go across all of them, how people are beginning to, you know, interact with software is through voice interaction. So, you know, it started with our cell phones, our mobile phones, where, you know, you could talk to Siri or you could talk to Google, and then that's taken off. And then Amazon launches Echo and the Dot, and, you know, people are talking through that. So you're going to begin to see this people don't want to interact with software via keyboards or anything else. They want to just talk to it. They want to say, hey, Act. You know, how did my marketing campaign go yesterday? And they'll come back and say, hey, Dan, you know, your marketing campaign was great. You had a, you know, a 10% open rate and a 3% click-through rate. And based upon that, you should do X, Y, and Z. And so I think, you know, you're going to see that. So the opportunity that we have as ACT is because we have such a large base and because, you know, we kind of own the 1 to 10 seat CRM space for small businesses, is to really be the leader in helping to bring some of this, what I just talked about, to the forefront rapidly. And man, that's just really exciting to be part of.
Mm. Don, do you have any closing question for our guests?
Yeah, well, yes, we have about 2 minutes left, Dan. Well, first again, John, identify yourself and your website for our listeners.
Yeah, John Oshel, CEO of SwiftPage, and, you know, come on over to www.act.com, and we'll teach you all about CRM.
Well, could I the question I would have, if you're a small business, what are the two things you would tell them they most should concern themselves about over the next couple of years?
You know, it's what we tell our customers is really, really know your industry and your segment and your space that you want to go after, and make sure you really stay true to that. You know, if I take ACT, for instance, you know, our space is small business, and it is that 1 to 10 seat space, and we just stay really focused on that, and we say we're going to just get, you know, be the best that we could possibly be in that area, and the world will know us as, you know, the number one space. So if you're a small business, get to that level of definition. And then the second thing, once you do that, is you have to really focus on those four C's of customer information. If you have that level of detail about your customers, you will grow your business. It's inevitable.
Well, John, thank you for joining us today. We'll put your website link on our website next to your interview tonight, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
And Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Ace is your neighborhood place for everything Yeti, from coolers to drinkware. And right now, for the first time ever, Yeti is on sale. During the Ace Memorial Day sale, save 25% on Yeti Rambler stainless steel drinkware. It's virtually indestructible and keeps drinks hot or cold for longer. So hurry into your local Ace and save 25% on Yeti stainless steel drinkware. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members only through June 4th. Excludes Duracoat colors and junk. See participating stores for details.
Don't let hackers get your data. Email is insecure and can't handle large files. Instead, use Biscom's Secure File Transfer product. Military-grade security that's as easy to use as email, and it can handle attachments of any size. Visit Biscom.com for your free trial and make sure your private communications stay private. That's BISCOM.com.
Well, roadside billboards have always been a little out of reach for many of us, including myself. Our next guest has found a way for small business to be seen along our highways. Welcome. We have Matthew Oliver. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You almost got it right. It's, last name's Olivieri, but don't feel bad. A lot of people don't pronounce that correctly.
All right, Olivieri. All right, I'll try and remember that. You know, I went to your website last night, and I was fascinated at this. I want you to tell our people your website and tell us a little bit about yourself, and then a little bit about you, what you do, and then I'll have a challenge for you.
Okay, no problem. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the program this morning. Really excited to share our story. The company is called AdSymbol.com. The vision for it is to make billboard advertising, specifically the electronic billboards that are starting to proliferate across the country, easy and accessible to every small business in America. And how we do that is we essentially index where these digital billboard locations are across the country on our website, in the cloud, in a database. And we make it very easy for any small business to go to our site, create an account, upload an image ad, and put in a budget that works for them. Could be even as low as $500 for 1 week. Imagine that, a billboard for $500. Who would have ever thought we have been able to actually create that reality? And these small businesses now across the country can log in and launch locally in their own backyard, put their name in big and lights, and as their local customers are driving by, see their brand and kind of be, you know, we like to say it connects the offline world to the online world. So you see that your logo big and lights, and all of a sudden that prompts a reaction to pull out your smartphone and start doing some more research. It could be a chiropractor, a lawyer, a dentist, doctor, pizzeria, anything that exists. And so that's the fundamental basis of the company idea.
So what's your web address?
Web address is adsymbol.com, A as in apple, D as in dog, S-E-M-B as in boy, L-E.com. And our new platform that we just launched is called Open Display. So it's just adsymbol.com/Open Display. And that technology is really makes the process almost identical to launching an online advertisement. You literally go in, you choose a market, put in a budget, put in a date range, and our proprietary algorithm will serve your ad to as many different billboards within that market that it can find within your desired date range. So we are really disrupting the 200-year-old way of thinking with these billboards of how people are traditionally kind of book them, pay for them, do the accounting process, everything. And that was the big opportunity that we saw, was that it was this very, very old method for a very pervasive medium. You know, it's billboards are one of those things where it's kind of like everyone's aware of them and everyone knows that they have massive impact. Yet nobody really took the time to stop and go, wow, is there an archaic way that these things are being bought, purchased and sold and accounted for? And the answer was yes. And we kind of saw that, and we saw, I think small businesses out there would appreciate a much easier turnkey solution to getting access to these beautiful, we call beautiful pieces of art that exist all over the country. And so that's what we set out to disrupt and change.
How long has the company been around, Matthew?
It was born in 2006 in my dorm room at San Jose State University. Very proud of that. And we officially launched in 2008. Now you think 2008, what a great time to launch an advertising business.
Yeah, well, it's a terrible time to launch anything, but it was really the best time to launch everything.
It was. But you know, when you're in a little cocoon of your own university, you know, trying to build something, you're kind of a little bit, not really necessarily paying attention to all these outside factors until you actually launch. And so those first couple of years were really rough. I don't want to be misleading anything. I kept a night job and just anything I could do to kind of keep the business afloat in those early days, until things started to come back and we were able to pick up a few good consistent accounts using our service. But yeah, definitely. I mean, it was an exciting time to be building something, but it was also a scary time in hindsight to think like, wow, we had some guts to try to do this back in 2008, I guess you could say. Think about that.
So are you profitable?
Yes, we are. The company is profitable now.
Good for you.
Thank you very much.
Let me ask you a question. And it really is an example of how your technology might be used. And I'm not sure I can say what I want to say, but I'm going to do it anyway. I have a foundation that deals with post-traumatic stress disorder, sleep deprivation, and suicide prevention. We're in 63 facilities across the United States. And we've delivered 11,000 MP3 players to veterans in these facilities. Plus, we get about 32,000 hits a month.
Wow.
And I have tried, I don't know how many different ways, times and everything else, to get a hold of Mr. Glenn Beck. He has studios in Irving, Texas. When I saw this, that you were coming on the show, I said, you know, maybe there's a way I could rent electronic billboard space somewhere close to Mr. Beck so that I can encourage him to give us a call so we can go on his show to talk to him about our terrific foundation.
Right.
So, but then I was thinking about it last night. In addition to my personal bias wanting to go to Mr. Beck, what about sending messages for like Mother's Day or for birthdays or anniversaries, renting a billboard as a gift to your spouse? Can those kind of things be done?
Yeah, they absolutely can. And so I think your foundation sounds incredible. And actually within our company, we have what we created called the AdSymbol Foundation. It's specifically designed to help promote causes like this. And even in some cases provide complimentary billboard space as it becomes available in different pockets of the country at different places.
Then we need to talk. We need to talk about how you can help us.
Yeah, I'd love to carry that conversation offline. No problem.
Sure.
Absolutely. So in answer to your second question, yeah, you can absolutely do tailored messages for significant others, for holidays, things of that nature. It is important to note right now where the industry kind of sits as a whole is the traditional buy, if you will, campaign minimum is 1 week, Monday through Sunday. So mm-hmm. it's a unique use case to say I'd only like to buy this for 1 day or 1 hour of 1 day. And that's simply because even though all of these electronic billboards are connected to the internet and they're all using different platforms to kind of send the messaging back and forth, there's still at the end of the day an operator, a physical human at these computer terminals somewhere at a headquarters kind of doing this process. And so the idea of programmatic buying where you could literally just do kind of these incremental one-off buys, something like that, it's not there yet, but we're getting there. We're going to be at a place where you could come in and say, hey, I'm McDonald's. I only want to show this ad between 9 and 11 Monday through Friday for coffee and an Egg McMuffin or something like that.
Right.
So eventually it will get there, but right now the trend that it and kind of the current setting of the marketplace is a Monday through Sunday buy. From 5 a.m. in the morning, these boards will turn on and they'll stay on all the way until like 11 o'clock at night. So
would the ad be on the whole time?
Yes. Yes, sir. It would rotate in a loop with an average of seven other advertisers. So there's typically eight advertisers in a loop, and each ad appears for 8 seconds at a time. So it's a 64-second, 1 minute loop that goes from 5 in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. So every 1 minute, your ad to Mr. Beck would appear for 8 seconds.
So let me ask you a question about Don and myself. Don
okay.
and I are both authors, and we've written different kinds of books.
Yeah.
And we both got
HSA
new books coming
Finder
out.
Website, by the way.
Pardon me?
I love the HSA Finder website, by the way. That's brilliant. Let's check that out.
Yeah, good. What I'm curious at is as authors. And I'm sure we have authors who are small business people who are listening to this. If we want to target a particular market, a particular area of the country or city, then am I correct that we might be able to measure sales in a particular market based on what kind of results we get based on using your billboard for a week?
We have actually pioneered a proprietary way to measure the impressions across the different locations that you're seen on. So essentially, going back to your Glenn Beck example, let's say we targeted Irving, Texas for one full week, and let's say that there were five billboard locations right around his office. So
mm-hmm.
for 1 week, we put this ad up there on all five locations for 1 week. Now, earlier I'd mentioned that there's typically seven other people in the loop.
Mm-hmm.
If during that 1 week that loop was not sold out on all of those locations, let's say it was only half sold out, right,
mm-hmm.
then we have a way of measuring the additional impressions and views your ad received because the loop was essentially – your ad was playing twice as much in the rotation across all five locations. So we can and let's say that those billboards were all separately owned and operated by different providers, maybe Clear Channel, Outfront, I mean the really big name companies, and then independent billboard owners use us as well. And so across the boards we can measure and show you in a PDF report on demand how many views you received during that 1 week. Now what you could do with that report is you could take that and you could look at your Google Analytics, you could measure clicks to your website, you could measure Instagram shares or Facebook likes or anything like that. And so you can kind of start to layer on top the billboard views you're getting with other activities that are happening as it pertains to ROI. And so we're the first ever company to kind of pioneer that, looking at that approach and saying, not only do you see your name big and light, you can instantly get that gratification, but you can also get this PDF report and start to understand how many views you received and what that might mean in terms of ROI to your original point.
So I have a couple more questions, but let me turn it over to Don.
Sure.
Can't hear you, Don.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
I'm curious, Matthew.
Yes.
Let's take Milwaukee, for example, where we have a station. What would be a typical buy in the Milwaukee area for 1 week if we wanted, say, 200 billboards? Give us some that you might know off the top of your head. I'm just curious on pricing. I got an email across from a listener that said asked exactly that question. How do you purchase and how much does it cost?
Sure, that's an excellent question. So different parts of the country have different rates. The sellers that log into our software to upload their locations are setting that base rate asking price per week. And it can range from as low as $500 per week for one location. In certain parts of the country, we have seen, like in Los Angeles, the Bay Area, Chicago, New York City, we've seen it go as high as $1,000 per week for one location. Now, if you're mentioning specifically Milwaukee and you're asking for like 200 billboards, let's say if those 200 billboards are in more the residential areas, not necessarily strung along a highway, then that you could bundle a big buy like that and get 200 locations. Let me clarify your question. Are you saying like you'd want to do it for 4 weeks, like one full month, or just 1 week? What would be the time frame that you'd want the 200 billboards for?
Well, let's say it's for our program, Recalculating, and we wanted the people, like every rock station, we wanted people to know about our show in the Milwaukee area, and let's say 200 billboards. What would that
per week, John.
Per week.
Yeah, I would say at that level, 200 is a massive amount. Again, if they're in the more suburban areas, more throughout neighborhoods, things of that nature, you could probably get 200 billboards per week for somewhere around $35,000 to $50,000, I would speculate. If you're looking at maybe one or two billboards on a major highway in Milwaukee that's going to get the same number of views and impressions because it's a major highway, you could probably get something like that for around $2,000 or $1,500 per week, just one location. But again, you have the volume of traffic is going to be the same as 200 smaller ones that are in less dense trafficked areas.
Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful where you select it and how you select it. And does your company help novices like me to do that, to better purchase, or does a small business have to depend on its own resources?
Absolutely not. We pride ourselves on our what we call our VIP concierge kind of experience. And so we really, internally, our company is built on a foundation of core values that puts the customer first in all circumstances. And we really want to be educators. We really want to help small businesses, because a lot of small businesses see these things and they go, well, that's completely out of my reach. I would never be able to afford to do that. I'm not even going to waste time to look into it. And we really want to buck that trend. We really want to say, you know, it is accessible to you, it is affordable to you, and we are more than happy to take time to coach you, walk you through it. As your example in Milwaukee or in Texas, you know, here's a map, here's the locations, this is what our personal recommendation is based on the trends that we're seeing. You know, and then once you actually launch your campaign, this is really cool. We have an audit team that will go out at no additional cost and take pictures, monitor the campaign from start to finish, whether it's 200 billboards or two billboards. We will monitor the campaign at no additional cost, because we just want to show you that you have an extra set of eyes and ears on the ground in that location, making sure that your brand looks immaculate so that you don't have to physically go out there and do that.
Do you also help shape the message? I think it's as important as the location, it's also the message that you put out there? Do you help that small businesses shape the message?
Yeah, we do, because a common occurrence that does happen is when someone makes the decision to do this process, they typically think, oh, okay, I'm going to put my name in a billboard. I better get every thought in my head on this canvas. And that is actually a terrible thing to do. You know, you got to think your ad's going to appear for 8 seconds. And if, unless there's a car accident or something where cars are just gridlocked, they're going to be driving by at 60, 70 miles an hour. So you want to put your logo huge, maybe your URL. And if you can simplify the URL as much as possible, that's even better. And then maybe one tagline or one call to action. I mean, if you think of Apple computers, Warner Brothers, you know, Verizon wireless, stuff like that, if you think of the type of billboards that they put out there, it's always a very simple message that's designed to trigger a subconscious mechanism in our minds to go, I need to learn more about that. Let me pull out my phone and start trying to find it. So in your guys' case, just the logo and recalculating, just something really simple. We actually have a podcast, ironically enough, right now in the Silicon Valley that's doing a billboard campaign, and they just put their logo huge, and they put the number one Silicon Valley podcast, listen on iTunes. That's it. And they're a brand new, like they don't have massive budgets. They don't have a massive following. They're kind of getting off the ground. But we work with them to develop a really simplified message that could work really well for them. And in fact, even if you go on our Facebook, our AdSymbol Facebook page, you can see pictures of their billboard ad right now. We posted some yesterday, so you can get an idea for that. But the point being is less is more, and we can absolutely work with any small business to help them develop and cultivate that messaging so it really resonates.
Your website again, your name, and how people can reach you?
Website again is adsymbol.com. A as in apple, D as in dog, S, E, M as in Matthew, B as in boy, L, E.com. My name is Matthew Olivieri. I'm the founder and CEO. And the best way to reach out, do you want just my email, or we could reach out to our support line, support@adsymbol.com, or we also have a 1-855-972-7336.
Say that again and slower.
Sure. 1-855-972-7336. And or support@adsymbol.com.
I have to tell you, our email site is lit up with people anxious to talk to you. Can you give us an example of one small business that you know about that had a successful campaign?
Yeah, well, I could tell you. The most recent one that triggers my mind when you ask me that question right now is we have a team, a small business team right now. They are engineering a really cool technology for motorcyclists. So they're a small business just getting off the ground, and they created an attachable LED light that affixates to your motorcycle helmet on the back, and it turns red when you come to a stop. So other drivers can better see you, and they're launching a Kickstarter campaign to raise money to build this product out, and they haven't been open that long. They did this process, and they reported back to us that they saw a noticeable increase in donations and in people signing up for their Kickstarter to purchase their new product. They actually surpassed their goal. They only needed to raise like $50,000. And they ended up at over $120,000 raised. And they attribute most of that to the attention that they felt that they were receiving and the clicks that they were seeing from their billboard campaign.
So, Matthew, thank you for that information. I have another question.
Sure.
And I want to make sure that that I'm helping myself and our audience understand. Am I correct that you don't actually own the billboards?
That is correct. We are a marketplace. So we link into, and think of us like a Priceline.com or an Expedia, right? So you go to Expedia, you can get access to American Airlines, Southwest, Delta, everybody. Same idea. You go to AdSymbol, you get access to all the different billboard providers under one umbrella. And that was the basis for the business idea, is rather than make 25 different phone calls to 25 different companies that own these things, you make one phone call, go on one website, and you can just checkbox 25 locations that are in your backyard and conduct one transaction and have one bill of sale and one accounting record. And then we help you with the message. We help you with the auditing, making sure it looks perfect, plays perfect. And even to that extent, if something goes wrong on any of those locations, we get to be the bad guys on your behalf and go back to that seller and say, hey, these guys are paying good money for this experience. Why is your billboard not functioning correctly? Let's get them some sort of reparation for, you know, your billboard not being turned on one day out of the week or something like that. Or if there's a lightning storm and a panel goes out, our audit team will catch that on your behalf. And, you know, in some cases, even if it was out for 1 hour, we've been able to get our customers one full additional week of complimentary coverage because of that experience. Now, if you went directly to the billboard owner, they're never going to tell you that their sign was out. You know, it's not in their best interest to kind of bring that to your attention or anything like that. But on top of that, it's just there's a lot more points of contact if you go direct. The other benefit, though, I'll say, is our pricing is identical to if you were to call direct. So we actually receive our business model is to receive a marketplace transaction fee from the seller on the back end of the transaction, which means you as the buyer save time and money because you're not paying a penny more than if you did make 50 different phone calls to 50 different billboard owners.
So Matthew, give us a sense of size, meaning how many electronic billboards versus regular billboards are out there?
I would say right now the ratio is probably one to five. One for every one digital billboard, there's still five traditional ones that exist, but that across the country, but that trend is rapidly changing. When we first launched the company now 10 years ago, that ratio looked more like 1 to 20. That's how quickly that all the big billboard providers are aggressively going out and telling the local municipalities and the state governments, city governments, that we would like to take down traditional billboards. Let us take down five traditional billboards and put up one electronic one. And the reason why they want to do that is because they can put eight people in the loop. These things are more attractive. And they're proven to be more engaging with people that are interested in them. Federal Safety Commission did a study on them, showed that they were safe for drivers. They did not increase auto accidents or cause auto accidents or anything like that. So there's no problems there. That was an independent study that proved that. And on top of that, it logically makes sense. You're helping the environment because you're not printing all this ink on these vinyl papers that are just getting ripped down and thrown out. You're saving – the billboard companies are saving also on maintenance crews and everything else, sending guys out there on cranes that could fall and, you know, crack their head open. They don't have any of that because they can control these things from a home-based computer and just put up a JPEG image, right? And so there's a lot of reasons why they want to take down the traditional ones and put up more digital. And the cost of the LED panels is drastically going down year over year. So the cost to actually build these things out is getting cheaper.
Matthew, we have about a minute left in this segment.
Okay.
Is it expensive to put up an electronic billboard?
I would say the overall cost has been going down, but still – could range when you factor in the permitting, the structure itself, the maintenance, everything. You know, you depending on what part of the country you're in, you could still be looking at $500,000 to $1 million plus to put up one really effective 14 wow. by 48 traditional size digital billboard.
And you're replacing five, so you're but I have to say I'm shocked. $1 million for a billboard, it just seems like an enormous amount of money. And giving it $500 a week, you got to do a serious payback analysis to see whether in the billboard business, is it worth it? And I don't know, but I think it's a fascinating concept. I will reach to you after we get off the air to talk about songs and stories. Thank you for being with us today. Fascinating business, fascinating story. Thanks for joining us, Matthew.
Thank you for your time. Thanks for having me. Thank you so much.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Ace is your neighborhood place for everything Yeti, from coolers to drinkware. And right now, for the first time ever, Yeti is on sale. During the Ace Memorial Day sale, save 25% on Yeti Rambler stainless steel drinkware. It's virtually indestructible and keeps drinks hot or cold for longer. So hurry into your local Ace and save 25% on Yeti stainless steel drinkware. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members only through June 4th. Excludes Duracoat colors and jugs.
Hate your old fax machine? You can now fax through email. Simply write an email, attach the document, and send. Works with all major email providers. Get rid of the noisy and expensive old fax machine and try Biscom's Cloud Fax. Our solutions are great for businesses of all sizes. Visit Biscom.com for your free trial. That's BISCOM.com.
Welcome back to Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. It's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
Okay, well, we've got a few minutes left. President Trump was in Saudi Arabia this past weekend, did almost a $400 billion deal. Important. Very important, because for every $1 billion that's added to the GDP of the United States, creates about 2,500 jobs. So this deal will be worth about 1 million jobs in the United States. And I think that he represented our country well. He was a dominating presence, and I think he just did a spectacular job. Don?
Dan Perkins here with your Recalculating Small Business Tip of the Day. Have you ever tried to find someone to help you in a big box store? Your time is valuable, and if you have a question, you need someone to give you an answer. Trying to find someone to help you is a problem in almost every big box store chain, regardless of what they are selling, TVs, clothes, or even nuts and bolts. I sometimes find myself wandering from aisle to aisle looking for someone to help me. Great customer service can be the difference of success between a small business and a big box competitor. When customers can't find someone to help them, they take their frustration out of the store. Small business owners make it a point to be attentive, helpful, and polite. If personal service is becoming more important to you, then look around for places that want and need you to be their customer. "May I help you?" are the sweet words of success. Check out recalculating.biz for more useful small business suggestions. This has been Dan Perkins with your small business tip of the day.
I want to make sure we got that tip of the day in, especially as we were talking about customer service, Dan.
Yeah.
I just thought it was so important. We have about 1 minute left, Dan, and I was wondering, I'm absolutely fascinated by our last guest. Well, our first guest, John, I've known him a long time, and I just think he's a fascinating guest. But Matthew really showed us how to create a disruptive small business. I don't know about you, but I'd sure like to figure a way to use it. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was great, and the fact that he's willing to talk to me about songs and stories, that's important. But I do want to mention to our audience, we have a new sponsor this week, Ace Hardware, joining the Recalculating family of small business operators. And we will have more in the next few weeks, many more sponsors coming to the program. So, Don, I think we're done for the day.
Well, we got about 30 seconds, Dan, and I'd just like to say how much it's been a pleasure today.
I agree.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's show was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, for past shows and special offers. And until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful offers.